So does anyone have a word, like as in they feel like they're supposed to give a word this morning of preaching? Just want to leave that open. If not, we'll move on. That's fine. Just want to. If nothing else, I just want to encourage to. If the Lord does do that one week to you, don't push it aside. I know that there are other people that the Lord wants to speak through. Don't just assume it's going to be me. I am privileged and honored to have him speak through me, but the Spirit of God lives in all of us. And so he might give you a word. It might just be a short word. It might be a long word of teaching or of insight or... But again, from the Lord. So, yeah, just want to encourage that. We have so much to celebrate. I want to just carry on a little bit with that word that... we both began the worship time with, and I think this last song really, really speaks to that as well. We see God's reckless love for us, and I love what Julie said. Like, you know, Judy says, "Let's let it all hang out." Or I think you said that, or maybe Lil did. And then Julie says, "And Jesus let it all hang out for us. Like he went all the way, and he didn't hold back." And I feel like I know that our love for him should be recklessly, a reckless and abandoned love. With Kelsey and Emily's wedding coming up, I've been thinking about marriage. Mind you, I think about marriage a lot. As you know, any of you who've been here for any number of months or years, I speak on marriage a lot for two reasons. Or maybe more than that too, but I think two reasons are this, that one, God ordained it and he made it the way it is because he has a story to tell. And a godly marriage is an incredible witness to the world. And secondly, I speak on it because I know that that's the first thing that the enemy goes after, is our marriages. If the enemy can destroy our marriages, then he really... does a lot of damage to the church. And so I want to see marriages strengthened. Yes, for your sake, like for the sake of marriages, because I want us all to live joy-filled lives and the fullest lives that we can, but also for witness sake, for witness to the world. You know, you talk about reaching out to the world and you're praying for that eyes would be open. I pray that eyes would be open, and I pray that I know that one of the ways eyes are open is when they look at us, when people look at us. And may our lives be such that this brilliant light, you know, I think about Paul being stopped on the road to Damascus, and this brilliant light met him, and he came to his senses because he met Jesus. And I pray that our lives, our marriages, the way we live life would be a brilliant light that would stop people in their tracks and that they would come to their senses. And I pray that our marriages would be that. And I pray that as people look at our marriages, that they would see Jesus in us and the full fulfillment of everything he has for us. And I pray that it would be a witness to everyone around us. And I think in our marriages, you're going to get a little bit of a... I don't know if I'm going to say some of this next Saturday or not. I haven't fully worked it out yet. But I'm going to speak on marriage. I guarantee you that. But I pray that the way you love each other would speak to other people about how Jesus loves us and how we love Jesus. You know, as we were talking about worship there, and yeah, it's so easy. Like on a night like tonight, people are going to put on party hats and they're going to have some wine or some beer or some different refreshments, and they're going to have food, lots and lots of, as if we haven't had enough food already, but there's going to be more food in many houses tonight, celebrating the coming new year. And when that clock strikes 12, people are going to shout, and they're going to hug, and they're going to kiss, and Happy New Year! Everyone's going to yell. And if you watch it on TV, whether it's in New York, the Big Apple dropping, and everyone's hugging people that they don't even know, and whoever's next to them gets a kiss and a hug, and everyone's celebrating together and shouting. You know, they're really enthusiastic. Or I think about, like, any of you who are sports fans, especially college sports, these few days here are college football, not European football. I gotta say that because we got a football fan right there, a real football fan. We call it soccer, but college football, American football is really big right now, and my two brother-in-laws and my father-in-law, they went to a big game yesterday down in Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl. And, you know, if you pan over the people who are watching the game in the stadium, and they've got their faces painted. Not my brother. I don't know. Maybe they did. No, they didn't. They took some pictures.
But they wore the right colors.
They wore the right colors, though. They're for Penn State. So they'll wear the right colors. Some people will get their faces painted. When a touchdown is scored, they scream and yell and high-five people they don't even know, as long as they're wearing the right colors. You know, and maybe even if they aren't wearing the right colors, they'll be like, ah, I don't know. Just, you know, but they'll get into the game. They'll celebrate. Confetti all over the place for the winning team. The team after the game, they start dancing and celebrating. Maybe they get a trophy and they lift it up. People getting all excited. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we should be even more excited. We should be even more in love with our God, our Savior. We have so much to celebrate. And I pray that our lives of celebration, and yeah, when people maybe walk in here and see us singing and some people dancing and some people waving flags and blowing the shofars and shouting the name of Jesus sometimes, maybe they'll think, man, That's a little bit weird. That's a little bit over the top. But you know what? I think it'll draw people in. Not that that's the reason we do it, but genuine love draws people in. And this abandoned, reckless love, this abandoned love and abandoned expression of love, it draws people in. You know, you think about your family, you know. And the prototypical, so there's mom and a dad, and they get all kissy and huggy, and the kids will say, ooh, that's gross. And then they'll come a little closer and look a little more. Because they love it when mom and dad love on each other. They love seeing that love expressed. And you know what? People might look through the windows or through the doors or come in here and visit, and they might think at first, man, that's weird, because it's just not their experience. It's not their regular thing. And yet I pray that it would draw people, and I pray that we would become a people more and more abandoned to loving God and expressing it. We are called to express our love for God. You know that? It's not just supposed to be a quiet thing. We are meant to express our love to our spouse. Do you know that? Now, there are certain things that are appropriate and certain things that are not appropriate. Certain things that are just between a husband and wife in the privacy of their own bedroom that aren't appropriate elsewhere. And obviously, but that expression and that love. And our love for God is meant to be expressed. In 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, I always try and picture this, what this would look like. And I think we're getting closer. But it talks about David dancing before God with all his might. Everything in him, all his strength. So I see him leaping and twirling and shouting and lifting up his hands, an expression of love to God, expression of praise. That's how our love should be. And maybe we're not dancers, and that's okay, but that heartfelt expression, that abandonment, where nothing holds us back. Okay, yeah, maybe your two left feet will hold you back a little bit. Maybe you don't have that rhythm that maybe David had or some other people have, but being totally abandoned in your love and your celebration of God, I think some of us are getting close. I know I'm getting closer. I'm not there yet. I still peek my eye sometimes. Because are people watching me? Ah, who cares? If grown adults can paint their faces and scream like crazy over a touchdown that means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things, why can't I express my love to God, not caring what other people think? What would it look like if we worshiped with all our might and danced with all our might? We're getting closer and closer, one step at a time. I can see it happening. More and more, Ben, we have so much to celebrate. The Psalms, many Psalms, but here's just a few. Psalm 47 verse 1 and 100 verse 1 talk about shouting for joy to the Lord. Shouting. Shouting. With all your might. I was watching a basketball game recently, it was a hockey game, and they were interviewing this one fan. He was well known. Anyways, his name was Boomer Esiason. They were interviewing him. His voice was hoarse. Mm-hmm. You could barely understand him. Yeah, he was talking like this. Oh, it's a good game, and I hope our team does well. Because he had been shouting the whole game up till that point. And he had already lost his voice because of how much he had been cheering on his team, yelling for his team. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad they lost that game because they were playing my team. But there's nothing wrong with getting excited about your team. But how much more should we be excited about God? How much more should we just express it? Allow it to flow from within us and just totally be abandoned in our love for God. We have so much to celebrate. He came. He came for us. He didn't abandon us. He could have abandoned us in our sin. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, he could have said, that's it, and pulled the plug. Even now, there's scripture that talk about the fact that we are alive. It's because God allows us to be alive. It's his choice. Every breath, without him, there would be no life. And if he just removed his hand of life from this earth, everything would instantly die. He hasn't given up on us. He hasn't abandoned us. He came as a little baby. He grew up. He chose to be among us, and then he chose to die. And then he rose again. It's like, woohoo! He rose! Like, he's alive. And because he lives, we can live. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. No sin will ever be counted against you. If you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, no sin will ever be counted against you. Ever. You are forgiven. It's amazing. That is celebratory. That is worth celebrating. That is worth shouting about. And people will hear those shouts. And some will be turned off. Those crazy people. But some will be drawn in. Some will be drawn in. You know, even people who don't watch sports, if the game is on the TV, and all of a sudden they hear, woo! They hear shouting and celebration on the TV or people in the living room watching. Even people who don't watch sports will come in and say, what happened? What happened? People will be drawn. I pray that you don't silence your voices. Don't hold it in. I hold it in. And I know many of us are naturally reserved. I've said this before, there aren't many natural extroverts among us. We are mostly introverts. And even the extroverts are kind of reserved extroverts a little bit. May we not hold in. May our love for him be reckless and abandoned. Again, David dancing before the Lord, and his wife Michal, she despised him for it. But he was rewarded for it. It was pleasing to God. Deuteronomy 6:5, and it's quoted in the New Testament. Jesus quotes it, and other people quote it as well. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And I look at that, boy, especially the word soul there. It seems the other words are encapsulating the word soul there, like, or are part of the definition of soul. But to love the Lord your God with all your soul. I've talked before how the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I know some of the criticism of more Pentecostal churches, and I guess we would fall under that, although we're not Pentecostal. We're charismatic, but we don't hold all Pentecostal theology in that. But definitely charismatic, full of charisma, which just means full of power, actually. Charisma comes from the word charis. Charis is the empowering presence of God. It's this power. It's this expression of God, manifest presence of God in our lives. And they might say, well, it's so much emotion. There's a lot of emotionalism in there. Amen. Now, that shouldn't be the highest thing. No. By the Spirit. That's the highest. We are supposed to be people who walk by the Spirit. But in walking in the Spirit, there will be emotion. And we're supposed to worship God with all of our emotion. So that means when the tears start flowing, let them flow. Don't try and hold them back. When the Lord touches you deeply and you begin to weep, whether it's with joy or maybe weep for someone else in intercession or even weep over your own sinfulness, let it flow. Don't stop it. Don't try and push it back. Worship the Lord. Love the Lord with all your emotion. If it's joy and laughter and smiles, let it go. Worship God with all of your emotion. Everything within you. Again, we have reason to celebrate. We have reason to get excited. We have reason to express our joy. And just let it go. Let it overflow to everyone around us. And yeah, some people think you're crazy, but even those people will be drawn to you. As long as you're not, you know, crazy in a... I want to be careful with how I say this, but... Yeah, sometimes the emotionalism is put higher than the Spirit. And that's not right. Or emotionalism, or things... To an extent where it's rude to others. There's care and there's love in that, and yet there is a point where too, and it's a narrow road, and that's why I don't want you to go far to the ditch and too far a ditch. But there's this place of dancing before the Lord with all your might, shouting before the Lord, expressing to the Lord, weeping before the Lord, laughing. I remember the first when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I couldn't stop laughing. Because it's like I finally got it. It wasn't uncontrollable as in, oh, I wish I could stop, but I can't. It's just like my eyes were opened, and I finally got it. And it was hilarious in a sense of God's love is, you know how it talks in the Bible, how God wants us to be hilarious givers. I got the hilarity of it all. God is a hilarious giver. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And just looking at his face, it's like the way he's made us so teaches us about him. Because when one person starts smiling, right, It's hard to not smile when one person is smiling. When one person starts laughing, all of a sudden you find yourself laughing. And you're like, what am I even laughing about? I don't understand what I'm laughing about. Luke's uncle. What's his name?
Brian?
Hmm?
Is it Brian?
Well, he has an uncle Brian, but that's not the one. You worked with him.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name.
What did we call him? Moots.
Yeah.
Moots is his nickname.
His real name.
Yes, it's his nickname. Yeah, they didn't name him that. If you ever get to be around Moots, and if he's listening, you'd be like, why is he mentioning me in the sermon? But then he'd be like, he has the greatest laugh in the world. In the entire world of anyone I've ever met, at least. And when he starts laughing, you can't help but laugh. Why? Because laughter is contagious. Joy is contagious. Joy spreads so quickly and so beautifully and so easily. May the joy of the Lord be in you, and may you not hold it in. May you express it, and people will be drawn to it.
I'm going to say his laughter is an abandonment.
It absolutely is. He fully gives in to joy.
Yeah. And it's all over his face. Like
everything.
Yeah. Larry. That's it.
There it is.
How could we forget?
If you ever get to meet him, may we be filled with such joy. Or let me put it this way, because I believe we are filled with joy. May you give full expression to the joy that God has given you. May you never hold it back. May you never hold it in. May your love be reckless and abandoned. Don't hold back your love for him. In your marriages, don't hold back your love for each other. I might fail to say this on Saturday, so I want to say it now, because again, I don't know what I'm going to say on Saturday fully yet. Don't believe the lie that the passion dwindles. Okay? There is a lie out there that says, it's so cute to see such a new couple, you know, and it's so beautiful and wonderful, but after a while, it just dwindles, you know, and then you get into real life. That's a lie. Don't accept that lie. Now, here's the reality. You can have the passion. You can be married 25 years, 40 years, 50 years. You can have the same passion in your marriage that you had at the beginning, and it doesn't need to be abandoned. What's added to it, though, is a maturity and a depth that you never thought possible. Your love will just grow deep. But don't believe the lie that the passion has to dwindle. It doesn't. See, the same thing is said to new Christians. Someone comes to the Lord and they're all on fire. I've actually heard this said to some people. I've heard that I didn't hear it said to them, but they relate to me that it was said to them. So they're passionate for God and they're all on fire and they're out there telling people, and someone comes along, some older Christian, and God forgive him or her for saying this and for walking it out in their own lives, but they say, oh, your excitement, it'll calm down. What a curse. I pray that our excitement for the Lord would be like on that very first day. And to that, then we add maturity and depth. But may I be filled with that same laughter. I was Christian since I was 3 years old. That's one of the stones of remembrance. Right, when we were talking about the stones of remembrance in my life. But another one is when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I can still see it. I can still see it as if it happened yesterday. Which isn't the greatest because my memory isn't that good anyways. But still, like I can see it. And I can see myself in that field with Steve Lytle. And I can remember laughing and just getting it. And walking around and laughing. And I remember then later on being in a van as we drove somewhere. And I was just smiling ear to ear. Oh, I pray that the joy of that day would be with me forever. And it is. And I pray that I would give it expression, that I wouldn't bottle it up. I pray that I would be as excited, if not more excited, about my God, my Lord, as other people are about their sports teams. And I pray that I would be more so, because it's more important. Oh, may we express our love. May we worship Him, and may we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. May we put our whole person into loving Him. May we hold nothing back. So we're going to be celebrating the new year. I don't know how you celebrate the new year coming in. A lot of people are going to be celebrating that. Oh, God bless them as they do. But I pray that for us as believers, it would be a reminder to us of how we are supposed to celebrate the Lord. We're supposed to celebrate the fact that He has given us life, and we have means, a reason to celebrate, and that we wouldn't hold that celebration back. As I was thinking about this, even in the way we celebrate, I've mentioned a few times before where with the feasts, one of the feasts in particular, I forget which one, but the Lord says to the people who are coming to Jerusalem to celebrate, if you live far off and you can't carry everything you want for the feast, because they were supposed to bring choice food, rich food, good food, and that. And then he says, sell what you need, bring the money, and then buy it when you get to Jerusalem. And what he says there is, buy choice food. I love it. God loves good food. Celebrating God does not, like sometimes we think the only way to celebrate God is by fasting and with somber face, with sad face, and with bowed head. No, God loves good food. Celebrate with good food. And then the other part of the verse, right, that I've pointed out, which blows us as Mennonites away, those of us who are Mennonites, from a background of, this is taboo a little bit, although we're getting out of it. But it says even, and take some of that money and buy some strong drink. God loves good wine. God loves good wine. I see. See, Mr. Mancuso is like, you're right. That's good. It's true. Now, we need to be responsible in that area. But God loves a good wine. And even the word strong drink, it's talking about, there is a reason to celebrate. There is, God loves a good celebration. God loves a good toast raised to Him. Celebrate life. I think of the Fiddler on the Roof. To life, l'chaim. And they're toasting each other with their wine. May we celebrate all that we have. You have so much to celebrate. Don't hold it back. Don't hold back. And may we give expression to that celebration more and more. Are there any questions or comments on this? Yeah.
So when you were originally talking about sports teams and other events that people are excited about, and to me what came to me is those things are safe.
Yeah.
You know.
They're acceptable.
Yes. So, okay, I know, or the person knows they're going to go into it, there's not going to be any controversy or whatever, so it's safe to do.
Yeah. And that's where our fear of man, we need to get rid of that.
Yes, fear of man came to me too. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know how it's going to be for you guys on your wedding day, but I remember when I've told this story before. I remember when Carlene walked down the aisle, still see it. I didn't notice anyone except her. Not to say that others who noticed other people did it wrong, I don't know. But for me, I just noticed her, and no fear of man. I began bawling. We talked about that. Kelsey may or may not bawl. Everyone be ready for that. I bawled, but I didn't care. There was no one else. I didn't care if it was acceptable or not, because all that mattered was my bride walking down the aisle. our expression to God, you know what, other people might not get it. It might not be a safe place. Here is becoming more and more of a safe place, but out there, you know, just you and him, just you and him. Love on him.
I agree. I was thinking exactly the same thing. It's acceptable in those kind of circumstances, but are we willing to be humiliated and die to ourselves and like let it all hang out? But yeah, like I know I mentioned this to you earlier, but this week a few times the phrase of a book, actually it was a book title, has been coming to me, and God's been ministering. It's a stronghold, but the still in the land. You know, especially our Mennonite heritage, we are known as the still in the land, like that presence, which has some really great things. But I just feel that God is calling us to boldness. And even this morning, the verse that really caught my attention was, because we've been talking, like Morgan and Candace and I, a little bit about like how worship, as we worship, like it builds his throne and it's warfare.
Yeah.
And but this verse, it's from Psalm 94. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against the evildoers? And it's like, who's going to have that boldness to just be, no, this is wrong? Or even, yay, God, you know, when everything else is quiet, you know? And and it's, I just feel that there is, God is saying it's time now. Like, don't, now you have to be bold more than anything. So,
That's good.
Hippies and stuff, even in the 60s, maybe they had something there where it was about Jesus and freedom and love and peace, and but they, you know, they're
expressing
it. These Jesus freaks, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? They were. It was good.
Yeah, there was a big revival in that movement. I mean, there was other stuff that wasn't good, but there was a lot of good in that. This just, I'm going to express it. Just as you were saying that, the words. The passage in Zechariah came to me again. And so I'm going to read the verse after what you mentioned. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Where are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. God bless it. In some translations, it's to shouts of glory. Glory. Not whispers of glory. Not whispers of God bless it. But shouts. Full expression. Giving full expression to the Spirit of God living in us. Full expression to what He is saying to us. What He has done, what He is doing, what He is going to do. To shouts of glory, glory. He'll bring out the capstone, which speaks of, well, either his first coming or his second coming. He'll bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless him, glory. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
See, the seriousness of it, even as a church, we've all seen churches grow, we've seen churches die in a town like this. There are churches that are dying right now, and that don't have life in them, and so this is all very key to it. Now, I'm a typical guy where I'm relationally challenged, relationships, as you know, we're doers a lot of the time, some of us, and maybe it's a personality thing, maybe there's women who struggle with it as well, but as doers, and even with our growing up in a Mennonite church, you had mentioned our denomination there. Let me just read that obvious verse from Revelations again, because I've read it many times, and it's just the serious of it in what you're saying now. So he's saying, I know he's talking to the one church there, and he's saying, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. No, you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Like, these are mature Christians.
Very good
I'm
things.
Reading this.
Yeah.
These are people I'd look up to.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from among its place among the churches. I got some serious stuff there. And I'm talking to myself as I'm reading that again, you know, in light of what you're saying. So this is what you're saying now. You know, it's not, a suggestion to grow deeper with God in your maturity with God, and you'll be a more mature Christian if you do this. No, this is some serious business.
Yeah. And love him with all your heart. Some of the translations for that verse say, you have abandoned your first love. Our love for him should be like our first love, should be our first love, and should be expressed that way. And yes, I love how you pointed out all those things that Jesus lists, because it's Jesus talking to the churches. They are good things. You recognize this. You're doing this. You don't put up with that. And all good things. And he's not saying you've gotten it all wrong. Leave that stuff and do this. No, he's saying hold on to that, but you need to return to your first love. This in love, I am my beloved's and he is mine. This starstruck, I am fully in love with you and I fully engage with you and I fully express it. Back to that. Yep.
So what's coming to me is that everything else flows out of that.
Absolutely.
So all the things that were first mentioned.
Absolutely.
And it's like, reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13. If I prophesy without love, I'm just claiming.
This deep, and I know that word love there is, the agape love, and I also think like that, what we're talking about this morning is too, along with the agape love. They're not in competition with each other. That's the whole thing I think I'm trying to say, is these loves, these different aspects of love are not in competition with each other. It's not one or the other. It's agape, like in your marriage, it's agape love. It's eros love. It's a passionate love. It's a doing love. You know, you can't just have good feelings towards each other. You want to do things for each other as well. But they're not in competition. The love that you had at first, just that passionate fireworks going off love, is not in competition with the deep-rooted love of doing the right thing. They should both be there. And like I said before, then, so that passionate love, to that passionate love, you add the depth, but you don't abandon the passion. You don't abandon the recklessness. You don't abandon those things. You add to them. So for the Lord, for our marriages, that's a scary verse that you read. Whenever I read that one, it's like, you've done all these things, but you've abandoned your first love. You've forgotten how to love, passionately love. And so if you don't change, if you don't repent, and repent means change your mind, how you think about things. If you don't change, I'm going to remove your lampstand. Wow.
So it's going along with that, maybe it's just journey because it just kind of clicked in my head, but as you shared that verse, it was just that, like Jesus said, the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it was all of a sudden, it's like, oh, like I never got that verse and paired those two together. It was just, oh yeah, they lost the passion behind it, but they lost that first commandment, like that greatest commandment, to love God. And it just, I don't know, it just clicked different in my head today.
And I'm so glad that the Lord said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Because obviously a big part of love is obedience. To love God is to obey God, 1 John. That's what it says. But I'm so glad he said with all your heart and soul as well. Meaning with all your emotion, with all your passions, our heart should be towards him. So I love watching the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I should love God more. Like, way more. It shouldn't even be a comparison with my celebration. I should love my wife, and I'm passionate about her. I'm very passionate about my wife. But I need to love God more. And I can honestly say I'm more passionate for God than I am for my wife. But I'm more passionate for my wife than anything else other than God. So it's these things of, and then we can love others. It flows out of that. Anyone else?
I'm reading a book on God's authority and the authority that he's given us. And just this morning, I was just contemplating, like, this thing, if something's not loving, it's not Jesus' way.
Mm.
And, like, God tells us many things, like, how to be like Jesus, and yet the way we know his way is to abide in him. Yeah. And when we abide in him, the other things will all come out of it. And we will be able to walk in God's authority lovingly.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's good. Well, let me pray for us then. God, we celebrate you. And I pray again, I pray that you'd loosen our tongues, that you'd loosen our feet, set our feet to dancing. I pray that, Lord, we would be set free to give full expression of our love. And if we find that our love is lacking, maybe we aren't as passionate as we should be towards you or in our marriages towards each other or in our friendships and our families and all that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would rekindle that passion. Lord, we want that first love reality with you. I pray that our passions would be ignited. And Lord, I pray against the lie that passion is somehow opposed to obedience, as if they're in competition, or that passion is opposed and in competition with doing. You're either a passionate person or you're a doer person. And obviously, I just want to say to us here, obviously we tend to lean more one way or the other, but they are not meant to be in competition. They work harmoniously together. They are beautifully fitted together. And Lord, I pray that you would fit those together in our lives. We want to obey you. We want to follow you. We want to serve you. And I pray we want to be passionate about you and for you and give full expression to that passion. We have so much to celebrate. So again, Lord, thank you for this past year. So many gifts this past year, so many wonderful things. And even the hard times, Lord God, we know that you are working in those. We thank you for those times as well. And we thank you for this coming year. And it's not so much that we celebrate a new year, we celebrate you and walking with you. I am excited to walk with you this new year. I am excited to see what you have in store. And you are worthy, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you are worthy and you are good. And we love you. We praise you. Thank you. I pray that your joy would go with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pray that his joy would go with you, and I charge you in the sight of God to express that joy. Don't limit it. Don't hold it in.
I just heard, like, the passion and the doing are like the fire and fuel.
Yeah.
the passion can fuel the doing, or the doing can fuel the passion.
It's a beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a fire.
Yeah. That is so good. Amen. Amen.
Yay, God.
Yay, God.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.